Good morning. Okay, so I need a bit of audience participation for this. I do. Okay, who can boo? Give us a boo.
Boo.
Oh, give us a cheer.
Boo.
Right. Okay. When I ask what you think of this particular Christmas product, I want you to either cheer if you like it or boo if you don't like it, okay? Make sense? Yeah, okay. Mince pies.
Yay.
Ooh, divided crowd. Brussels sprouts.
Yay.
What? Brussels sprouts?
Yay.
Wow, we've got some Brussels lovers amongst us. Christmas pudding. Okay, it just sounds like noise, I'm not going to lie. Okay, what about this? Wearing your crown from your Christmas cracker. Yeah, mixed crowd. Here we go. So here's one I carefully took out of a Christmas cracker without opening a Christmas cracker.
Thank you. Yeah, all good?
Let's see. Okay, Christmas crackers. So growing up, you'd pull your Christmas cracker around a table. Everyone would stick it on their head out of a sense of duty and obligation. My brother's big head would split his. His head is quite round. My head, you know, like when I was younger, it fits quite nicely now. I've kind of grown into it as I've got a little bit older. But mine would do that thing where it just kept dropping over your eyes, you know, like in between mouthfuls of turkey. Drop down, you push it up, drop down, push it up, like... Your dad's given up on it, like thrown it down on the table. Turn around and your nanny's just sitting there with it just perched on the top of her perm looking like the queen. I mean, I just don't know how old people with perms do it. It's just absolutely amazing. Okay, we are going to look today at the message that we heard right at the start of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and announcing to her that she's going to be with child and give birth to a son who's going to be called Jesus. And this is from Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read it from verse 28. So the angel went to her, that's Mary, and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, which means God saves. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David," that's King David, "and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, for us today in England... The average way that the average Joe finds out they're pregnant is through a pregnancy test or a scan at the hospital, yeah? No real other way. But here you've got Mary and you've got God coming to her and announcing to her through an angel in a really personal and a powerful way. An angel comes to tell her that she's going to be pregnant and she's going to have a baby. Now, let me ask you this question. This isn't a trick question. If I remember who says it first, then there'll be a little Santa Claus for you made out of chocolate. What kind of person sits on a throne, has a kingdom, reigns over people, and is from a royal family? Thank you. Peter Dixon, a king. A king. Yeah, King Nate. Peter, I think there'd be... Yeah, King Charles. I think there's some chocolates behind you, so you can have that. So, Mary isn't going to have an ordinary baby because she's heard that her baby, there's going to be thrones involved and kingdoms and reigns and a royal family. She's not going to be having an ordinary baby. She's going to be giving birth to a king. And that's the reason why when the wise men came later on, just after Jesus had been born, they were asking that question. They said, "Where is he, Jesus, who has been born king?" See, Mary is told that Jesus will occupy the throne of King David. That's in verse 32. Now, the thing is, thousand years before, King David was told that his throne would continue forever. And yet Israel hadn't had a king for about 500 years. And so one of the reasons that Mary and Joseph were chosen to be the parents of this baby Jesus was because they were descendants of King David. Now, we know from our own recent history, very recent, that the reign of a king and a queen comes to an end. And yet the angels are saying to Mary, this kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, will not end. Now the thing is, King David, years before, said exactly the same thing about God. So in Psalm 145, verse 13, King David said this. He said, your kingdom, God, is an everlasting kingdom, and your rule endures for generations and generations. So hold on a second. How can two people both have a kingdom that will never end? It's quite simple. Same king and same kingdom. God's kingdom and Jesus' kingdom are the same kingdom, and actually the same king. See, because when Jesus came, it was God showing up on earth with skin and with bone. Isaiah 7:14 says, the virgin, that's Mary, will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. The king of heaven came and became the king of earth. Born is the king. Now, I wonder, actually, what Mary thought when she heard this. Like, what did she think when she heard that she was going to give birth, not just to a baby, but to a baby that was going to be a king and was going to have a kingdom and was going to rule and was going to reign? If I was Mary, I'd be thinking, cool, I'm going to give birth somewhere well posh. And look, the wise men later on, they rocked up to find Jesus, and they go looking for him, and they know they're looking for a king. So they rock up to Jerusalem, because assuming that Jesus will be in a palace in a big city, and they go there and they get told he's not here. He's in that little town of Bethlehem. Now, to understand that, that's like someone coming to London to find the king in a capital city and being told the king's not here, he's in Slough. Now, if you're like, where is Slough? That's exactly the point. No palace, no guards, no servants, no flags, no trumpets, absolutely no royal scene. Mary gives birth in a shed, and shepherds arrive to worship the newborn king. And what do they find? They find no throne, no royal cot, but instead they find a feeding trough. Now, talk about humble beginnings or a king of the people. That is it right there. See, Jesus came and he was born into poverty and not into privilege. Thank God for that. He became helpless even though he was mighty and he was powerful. And he came to serve even though he could have been the boss. A king that would cry and that would suffer and not be sheltered away from the hard life that you and I might go through. See, God wasn't just showing the world that he was with them. God was showing the world that actually he was one of them. Now, why? Why would he do that? See, the words that were given to Mary weren't a gender reveal party. They weren't like, you're going to have a boy, way. They're saying, Mary, this is who you're going to give birth to. This is who he's going to be. And this is what he's going to do. You often hear people say, didn't you, when a newborn's just been born, oh, they don't stay babies for long. Oh, they grow really quickly. The time goes fast. And that was true too for Jesus. He didn't stay in the manger. So from the creation of the world, the Bible says that God was and God is king. A loving and a good ruler wanting to have friendship with you and with me. And the Bible also says that we say, do you know what? No thanks, God. I quite like to be king or queen of my own life, selfishly doing things our own way. And we take the crown that belongs on God's head and we say, actually, I like it on my head, thanks very much. And with our selfishness and in our words and in our attitudes, in what we say, what we do, we say, actually, God, I don't need you. Now, the Bible calls that sin. And a consequence of that, the Bible tells us, is that we're no longer friends with God. And the punishment of that that comes our way is death. So what does this loving and good ruler do? He says, you know what? I'm going to fix the problem that you have created. And so God sent Jesus, which means God saves, as king, who lived the perfect life and died a horrific death, taking on the punishment and the judgment that you and I deserve. And he died and he rose again from the grave and he defeated death and he conquered sin so that he could wipe away our mistakes, he could heal our brokenness, he could give us hope, he could give us peace, he could give us joy and the opportunity to be friends with him again. And the Bible says that we have a choice with what we do with that. We can carry on having the crown on our own heads and saying, do you know what, I'm happy being my own king and I'm happy being my own queen. Or we can take off our crowns and we can say, God, the crown belongs to you. I want you to be the king of my life and I want to follow you. The choice is ours. Now, if you endured the coronation earlier on this year, I mean, if you watched the coronation earlier on this year, you would have seen the moment that the world were waiting for, which was King Charles receiving a crown weighing approximately 5 pounds of solid gold with 444 gemstones placed on his head. That's like the weight of a newborn baby going on his head. You know, I remember just seeing it and just being like, Charlie, please don't drop it. Thankfully, he didn't. And so, like, everyone cheered and rejoiced that the king had been crowned. And it was a fitting moment, whether you're a royal person or not, a king wears a crown. Like, that happens in stories. You rarely get a king without a crown. And yet, here we are. So, Jesus was born king, and there weren't a crown in sight. Not one. And from birth to death, everything about Jesus was kingly. And yet the only crown that was ever placed on his head was a crown of thorns. And when the crown of thorns were placed on his head, the Roman soldiers carried on mocking Jesus, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And that was when, on the way, when he was going to be crucified. That was Jesus' coronation. The crown that Jesus wore was one of ultimate humility, complete humility, trading like a heavenly crown for a crown of thorns and one of suffering. Like the ultimate rejection of Jesus as king. The seeming opposite message of what Mary had been told by the angel Gabriel. And so a feeding trough and a crown of thorns are now gone. And the Bible says that Jesus is now crowned with glory and with honor because he suffered death for everyone. And Jesus is now sat on a throne in heaven as what? As the King of Kings. And his kingdom is eternal. It goes on forever and forever. Like it says in the message to Mary, there will be no end to his kingdom. Born is the king. Let me finish with this. Any Lego fans? Yeah, a few. Okay, a few. A mixture of adults and kids, I'd like to note. So this was an exhibition that came to Brick Lane like years ago. I don't know if you went to see it. It was like a Lego exhibition. Fascinating. And this was one of the sculptures that really stood out for me, and it's called Incomplete. And if you can't see it, it's a figure repairing, trying to repair its own crumbled torso. And there was a caption next to it, you know, because if you're looking at it, thinking, what on earth is this? Like, it kind of explains to you what it is. And it said this, it says, the caption said, ever had those days when you've given so much of yourself that it feels like a hole has been left in you? Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you or I go to finish this Lego sculpture. So we get like a bucket load of bricks, hopefully red, and we go to try and complete it. Now, I'm all right at Lego. I'm not like a genius. I can build a house and that's probably it. But if I went to finish this sculpture, at best, it would probably look okay. I think probably the reality, if I tried to finish it, would look a complete and utter mess. And when I saw this sculpture, I just thought, man, that is such a picture of what our lives are like. Such a picture of what my life is like. That actually we're incomplete. And so often we try to complete like the gap that is missing in our own lives. And look around. This might be true for you. You might not think it is true for you. But I see it time and time again from my own life and the lives of people around me. That we think, you know what, my life would be complete if I just had a bit of money. If I was popular, if I was loved, if I was happily married, if I passed my exams, if I had good health, if I had kids, if I had power, then maybe then I would be complete. The Bible tells us that only the creator of the heavens and the earth, only the creator can completely build us and make us whole. The only one who can make us whole is the King whose throne started off as a manger and who is now sat on a throne in heaven. It's the King whose crown was the one of thorns but is now one of honour. Jesus Christ was born to be king. And the shepherds were told that is good news of great joy for all people. For all people. All people. For you and for me. For them, for us, for the future generations to come. So let me just ask you this morning, who is your king? Who is your king? And maybe more importantly, who wears your crown? Is it yourself? Crown firmly in place, thank you. I will rule my own life, thank you very much, God. Is it someone else? Because you're hoping that they'll make you complete. Or actually, is it God? Do we take our crowns off and we say, God, you deserve to wear it and I want to follow you. I just encourage you this Christmas, you know, when you're cracking into your Christmas crackers and you see your crown, when you watch adverts and people got crowns on their heads, when Christmas has been and gone and you walk past your recycling and there's a paper crown all scrunched up, ask yourself, who is my king and who wears my crown? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you were born king. Thank you so much, and thank you that you've done it in a way that is completely against, like, the culture of our world. And that your throne was a feeding trough for animals, and a crown that you wore was a crown of thorns on your way to dying for us. God, I know that my life is incomplete without you. And I pray for those of us who don't know you, would just ask ourselves the question, like, what is going to make me complete? Who is going to wear my crown? And who is going to be king of my life? And God, for those of us who do know you, who are just so tempted to pick that crown back up from your feet and put it on our own heads again and do it our way, God, I pray that we would know that your way is better than our way. Yeah, thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Born is the King. Amen.